Well, there are two ways to reject God. There are two ways to reject God. One of them's obvious, very easy. It's the person who has made a complete mess of their life. I live next door to somebody like this. They're a mess. Everything's dero. The whole thing's a mess. Everyone can see they're at war with themselves. They're at war with everybody else. And they're at war with God. It's obvious. But there's another way to reject God. And it's not very obvious. It's actually very surprising. We can reject God by being good. It's a surprise. And that's what Jesus is going to show us today. That's why, parents, you don't want good children. That's not what you want. I'll show you. You want Christian children. Massive difference. Have a look at this. This is what we're going to see today. The youngest son rejected his father by being bad. The older son rejected his father by being good. And what we're going to see today, and you guys have come to expect this, I think people are coming with plasters and all sorts of medication because there's a sting. And all the parables have a sting. And at the end, Jesus is going to leave us with an incredible sting. This parable's not hard to understand. There are two sons. They look totally different. There's nothing in their likeness. Their lives look different. But their heart is exactly the same. When you look at this parable, you're going to see that two brothers, totally different, have the same heart. Both don't love the Father. Both are only in it for themselves. Both only want what they can get from the Father. And sure, one of them is going to wake up and he's going to realize that all along, the thing that he's been searching for in life, the best thing he can find in life, is the Father himself. Nothing he can give you, but him himself. That's the story. It's really not hard, but we're going to look at it closely. Here's the first thing. The younger son rejected his father by being bad. Look with me there at verse 11. So Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me. So here's a father, and he's got two sons. And they, obviously, precious to him. Two boys, precious to him. And they've grown up in his house. And he cares for them. If you're a father here this morning, I don't need to. Do you understand, fathers? The little twits will never know how much we love them. They'll never get it. We love them. And here is a father with two sons, and he loves them. So one day, the younger son comes to his dad, and he says to him, Dad, I wish you were dead. What? What? You might say, well, you're being a bit harsh. No, that's what Jesus' hearers would have understood. It is the most insulting thing. This boy goes to his daddy and he says, Dad, give me what is mine. You only inherit when your dad's dead. Dad, I wish you were dead. Give me my stuff. It's a shock. Dad, quite honestly, I don't care whether you're dead or alive. I don't care, Dad. Give me my stuff. I just want what you can give me. That's all I'm interested in. On Wednesday, isn't it? Are you all happy? Schools go back tomorrow. It's so cool. Anyway, so on Wednesday, finding things for the bored people to do, I take my daughter and her bestie synchronized swimming. They're going to try it out, right? At Scarborough Pool. You know the new pool? Beautiful, beautiful. So I'm at Scarborough Pool on Wednesday. It's crowded. There's people everywhere. It's another glorious Perth day. I'm killing myself because there's guys kiting, you know, and I'm sitting there watching kids, but moving on swiftly. So I'm sitting there, just people, suntanning, swimming, synchronized. Are they all bad? Were they all trying to kill each other? No. Wonderful, happy, smiley, bouncy people. They don't care whether God lives or dies. Completely irrelevant. Completely irrelevant. They're not giving God, they're taking all his stuff. Blue sky, I'll take that. Sun shining, I'll take that. Health, look, I'm bouncy, I'll take that. Water to swim in, a couple of guys kite surfing. Who made that ocean? God, well, I'll take that. Everyone's taking, not a second thought about God. Is the Father alive? Is there a God? Is there a God? Well, I don't care, actually. I don't care. I'm having a good time. Same attitude. Same attitude. So what is God like? What is God like? Well, look at verse 12. Halfway through verse. Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to you. Give me your stuff. Halfway through. Look what the Father does. And he divided his property between them. Are you kidding me? What? This, no Middle Eastern father, patriarch, would do this. Some son comes up to you and asks for his stuff before you're dead. Okay, give it to him. Are you kidding me? It's a complete shock. Not, what the heck, boy? That's it, I'm taking everything. You remember your place. That's it, I'm taking everything back. Give me your clothes, give me your food. That's it. Worst thing ever, I'm switching off the internet. None of that. None of that. What does the Father do? He just gives it to him. What? At the swimming pool, all those people taking from God. And what does he do? Big giant foot comes out the sky and squishes them all. No? It gets dark. And it starts raining like that'll ever happen in Perth. You know, do you know if God did that, do you know how they'll complain then? Maybe he gives them a bit of suffering. Well, then they'll know there's no God because they're suffering. No, do you know what he does? Do you know what God did on Wednesday? He gave them more sunshine, more health, more fun. He did nothing. He just kept giving. That's what the Father is like. That's his nature. The Father is outrageously kind and generous. And so look at verse 13. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had, and he took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. Not many days later, can't wait to get out of the house. Can't wait. Living under the Father is bondage. I will go and find my own joy, because the Father ain't no joy there. I'm not going to live under the Father. Doesn't sound like fun to me. God, you can't make me happy. I'm going to get it myself. I'm going to go into the world and get my own happiness. And so off he goes into a far country. And by the way, the further I can get away from you, the better. And he leaves his father and off he goes traveling to far country. You know what? It's so cool. Far away, no boundaries, no rules. Hey, what happens on the surf trip, stays on the surf trip, you know. Go get surf and sex in Indo with no consequences. Squandered all his property in reckless living. Still, you know, you've got to hand it to him. He's trying very hard. This guy will try. He's doing his best to find joy. Spends everything he has to buy happiness. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do my best. Look at verse 14. And when he had spent everything, oh, you've got to feel that the guy's trying. You've got to give him that. I can see him there, spent everything, you know, hands on his knees. What else can I try? Wait, there's a festival. I haven't been to Saigon. Oh, he's trying his best. Paris next summer. He spends everything. And then what happens? Look at this. A severe famine arose in that country. Oh my goodness. Oh, I didn't count on that. You're not in control. You're not in control. Your money can't control everything. You can't foresee everything. You don't know what's going to happen. There you are on your yacht in the Pacific and you get cancer. That's not what I planned. Can't control everything. There's a severe famine arose in that country and he began to be in need. Your need for joy, and that's a good thing. That's the way God made you. Your need for joy will catch up with you. And if you're not getting it in the right place, you will end up in a famine, starving. Everything will turn to a famine. Everything. Everything will turn to a famine. Reckless living is a cul-de-sac. It's my life, and I'm going to sleep when I'm dead. Except, oh, you don't sleep when you're dead. That's when you begin. That's when you wake up to a nightmare that has just started. So verse 15, he's in need. He's starving. Verse 15, so he went, hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. No one gave him anything. One of the things I've learned in my family, we've got drug addiction and alcohol addiction in my family. No one can tell you when you've hit rock bottom. No one can tell you. He's deaf. No one can tell you when you've gone too low. You know what the lesson is here? You want to live like an animal? You will live like an animal. He ends up living like pigs, with pigs. You want to live like an animal? You will live like an animal. You were made for God. To run from God is to live like an animal. There are no other options. Look at verse 17. But when he came to himself. Oh, those words are so brilliant. Jesus is the greatest storyteller in the world. When he came to himself, when he looked in the mirror and said, I'm not pink and I don't have a tail. Oh, I'm not a pig. He woke up to himself, to who he is. So I'm at squash on Saturday morning, and the guy's got a TV going opposite the squash counter. If I stand funny, it's because I was at squash on Saturday, but that's another subject. The guy's got a TV counter, and I happen to look up at some Aussie morning show program. I never watch them. I saw a bunch of teenagers at Macca's having a fight. Ah, there were these girls, I got daughters, these pretty little things, punching and lashing. It was a full-on brawl at Macca's, you know. And they were like animals. But then I realized at school, day in and day out, atheistic evolution tells them, you're an animal. That's all you are. So of course they're going to act like animals. Are you stupid? They're just being who they are. animals until you wake up and come to yourself. Wait a minute. I'm not an animal. Well, why aren't you an animal? What are you then? You were made by God for God. That's the only thing that makes value and sense of who you are. This guy who's living like an animal came to himself. Jesus knows better. He knows better than your science teacher. God made you. The younger son woke up to reality of who he is. Those pigs and me, we're different. We're not the same. Verse 17, look what he says. So when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I'd rather be a servant of God than be a rock star. Final realization. Finally, I'd rather be a servant than a rock star. And so he starts this long journey back. Look at verse 18. I will arise, go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. He's rehearsing a prayer. This is what I'm going to say. So there'll be my father, and there'll be this, and there's mum. Okay, so I'm going to say this. And then you can see the anguish. Well, how's this going to go down? He left in a Subaru WRX, and he comes back barefoot. He left with Gucci on his body, and he comes back smelling of pigs. He left holding up the middle finger to his father, and he comes back with both hands together saying, please, please, can I be your servant? What do you think his biggest worry was? What would you feel? What's his biggest fear? Will Dad take me back? Will he take me back? Surely that's the biggest fear. Will he take me back? Well, what would you? Would you take him back? I guess it all depends on what kind of father he is. What's he like, this father that we've rejected? What's he like? Well, let's see. Verse 20, he arose and came to his father. I love that. When you come to yourself, you will come to your father. They're the same thing. Because you're made in the image of God. To come to yourself is to come to your father. Look at verse 20. He arose, he came to his father. Now watch this. This is shocking. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. This is a shock. I know you don't think this is shocking. But as has often been said, in this culture, for a patriarch to run is the most, it's like picking your nose in front of the queen. You don't run. It's not done. Here is a patriarch who forgets all his dignity and runs. And he embraces his son. Ew! He's dirty. Gives him a kiss. Hog's breath. Why do you think the father saw him from such a long way away? Why did the father see him from so far away? Was it because, he's just lucky? Oh, I've moved on. Boy, you haven't hurt me. I've moved on. I've forgotten about you. No, do you know why the father saw him from a long way off? Because he was watching for him. Every single day, scanning that horizon. Will he come back to me today? Will he come back today? Is it today? The father is watching and waiting. The only reason it's February, can you believe that? It's February 2019. Why? Because the father is watching, waiting for people to come back to him. And if you think that's good of the father, look at verse 21. And the son said to him, remember the rehearsed prayer. What were they? Three things. Father, I've sinned against you. Number two, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. What was number three? Treat me as one of your servants. The father interrupts him. Look at verse 21. Father, I've sinned against heaven. You're right. Tick. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. You're right. Tick. Number three, treat me at what? But the father said to him, it's beautiful. The father's like, there's no way I'm going to treat you like a servant. There's no chance of that. You're right, you sinned. You're right, you're not worthy to be my son. But I'm taking you back. Look at what the father says, verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Put the best robe on him. Put a ring. The ring is probably in those days a family seal that shows you're part of the family. You're not a servant. And shoes on his feet. No more filth from the world. What a glorious picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that this is what Jesus has done. When we come to him, he gives us a new robe. What is that? It's the righteousness that he gives us that we didn't earn, but he gives it to us. The ring is, we're told, Jesus gives us the right to become children of God. And the feet is a picture of him washing earthly filth from us. And the celebration. Look at the party. Verse 23. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate. Verse 24. For this my son was dead. He's alive again. He was lost. He found. And they began to party. I love the heart of this father. Where's the, so you're back, eh? Told you. Where's that? Where's the, okay. You can come back. But listen, I need you to do this, and I need you to do, and you need to make it up to me. You should see the trash that hasn't been taken out since you've been gone. So what I want you to do, no works. Don't make it up to me. Just come. You don't need to say special prayers. You do not need Mary. You do not need the saints. You need nothing. You do not need purgatory to fix your mistakes. You just need a father like this. That's all you need. Jesus says, this is what the Father is like. And I want to ask this morning, how can it be? How can the Father be like this? Do you know why? Because there is a third son in the story. There aren't two sons. There's a third son. He's the son who's telling the story. He's the perfect son. He is the son who always obeyed the father. He's the son who loved the father completely, always. He's the son who left his father's house to go and find his lost brother. He's the son who, when he found his brother, took all his debt upon himself. He's the son who died in your place. His name is Jesus. He is our elder brother. He gives you the right to become a child of God. The younger son rejected his father by being bad. But secondly, the older son rejected his father by being good. It's such a surprise. Totally different lifestyle. It looks nothing like the younger son. But as you will see, it's the same attitude to the father. The religious do-gooder, the rule keeper. Jesus is obviously telling this parable to the religious Jewish leaders of the day. Look at verse 25. Now, his older son was in the field. Oh, there he goes, doing the right thing. Where's the older son? I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm in the field, sweating away. The older son was in the field. I'm studying at UWA. But my younger brother's in Bali. Living the dream. You know, what the heck? Here I am. Mum and Dad are getting old, and I'm fetching them and taking them to the doctor. And my sister's at another musical festival in Sydney, popping ecstasy. I'm always doing the right thing. What the heck? Look at verse 25. His older son was in the field. He came, drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing. And so he calls one of the servants, and he asks, what these things mean? And his servant said to him, you're never going to believe this. Your brother has come. Your father has killed, not your brother, the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. Dad did what? How unfair is this? This is totally unfair. Where's the justice in the universe? Where's karma when you need it? You know that fattened calf that Dad killed? Do you know why it was fat? Because I fed it every day. I cleaned the poos. It was me. I'm working my fingers to the bone, trying to do the right thing, and you, Father, just take sinners like that. He didn't love his brother. And did you see he didn't? There's no name. Yay, Bob's back. No, there's no name. He wrote his brother off. You know where this older guy lived? He lived in the cruelest of all worlds, the world of religion. It's cruel. You get what you deserve. It's cruel. Thank God that Jesus says God is better than religion and God is better than karma. Because look at verse 28. He was angry. He refused to go in. Now look at the father. His father came out and entreated him. It's astonishing. The father is as kind and as generous to the older brother as he is to the younger brother. His father comes out. He wants his older son to come in just as much as he wants the younger son to come in. Come in. The younger son is outside of the house by doing bad. And here's the lesson. The older son is also outside the house by doing good. But watch the heart of the older son. Look at his heart. The Father comes out. Don't you love it? The Father leaves his glory and becomes a man. The Father comes out. Look what he says. Look at his heart, verse 29. But he answered his father, look, these many years I've served you. I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I can celebrate with my friends. I served you, Dad. Where's my party? You gave me nothing. You know what serving you's like? Bondage. This guy, this brother of mine, can't even say brother. Look what he says. This son of yours came. He's devoured your property with prostitutes. You killed a fattened calf for him. Do you know what he's saying to his dad? The same as the younger brother. Dad, where's my stuff? It's the same as the younger brother. Where's my stuff? He doesn't say, Dad, you know why I served you? Because you're a great dad. Not at all. Dad, you know why I served you? Because I love you. Not at all. No. I've been keeping records. Every good thing I've done is written down. You pay up now, Dad. You owe me, Dad. The oldest son was religious. I obey God to get stuff from God. Health, wealth, prosperity, whatever. Eternal life. That's why I obey God. You know why I obey God? Because I want eternal life. That attitude is a rejection of the Father. And yet, look at the Father. That's it, you're out, squish. Look at verse 31. And his father said to him, son, you are always with me. All that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad. For this, your brother was dead. He's alive. He was lost and is found. Look at how the father treats the older son. Are you starting to see what the father's like? Would you like a father like this? That's why I called this the prodigal God. Do you know what the word prodigal means? The word prodigal means, well, it's the opposite of frugal. It's to mean, it means spendy. It means lavish, generous, magnanimous. Now, here's the point. The way the prodigal son throws his money around is the same way the prodigal God throws his love and grace around. He's just generous. What does Jesus want us to do with this whole parable? This morning, what should we do? Here's what he wants us to do. It's on the screen for you. It's obvious. Why is he telling this? He wants you to return to your Father. So obvious. You might be sitting here this morning. You're not yet a Christian, and you're not eating with pigs. You're at Macca's, so you're close. But you're not yet eating with pigs. I'm telling you, your Father is watching and waiting. How long will it be before you suddenly realize this ain't making me happy? Here is what God says to you. It's from the prophet Isaiah. This is what God says to you. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy, eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money. I want nothing from you and without price. Look how the heart carries on. Why are you spending your money for that which is not bread? Why are you laboring for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me. Eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Please don't be deceived this morning. Don't presume on God's goodness. You have to return. If you don't return, you will die with the pigs in the far country. If the younger brother didn't come back, he would have stayed with pigs. Return. If you want to talk about how to do that, come talk to me. I'm the guy with no hair. I'll be standing over there. Matt, will you stand over there? Come and talk to us. We'll tell you. In fact, why not get baptized on the 24th of February? we're baptizing people here. If you haven't been baptized yet, come and talk to us. Don't be shy. But what about those of you who are Christians? What about those of you who are Christians? Let's take a step back. Here comes the sting. Are you ready? Are you ready for the sting? Which brother is in the most danger? Which brother? Well, let me ask you a different question. Which brother woke up, came to himself, and came back to his father? Which brother? How does the parable end? Where's the missing verse where the older brother says, "You're right, Father. I'm sorry. I've sinned. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Treat me." I don't see him saying that. Boom. It just ends. Because that's the sting. When Jesus told us, religious, moral, upright people would have felt the sting. Most of you listening to this, well, look at you. You should come up here and look. You look lovely. You're moral. You're respected. You're not like those nasty people on the beach right now. Pagans. That's what we're not. Really? You didn't get high last night. You didn't get drunk last night. You haven't done a burnout for years, and now you've got an old man's car that can't do burnouts. This parable says to you, don't be deceived. Don't deceive yourself. You may find that you've rejected the Father by being good. Watch out. This parable teaches us that there is more chance of a person who's made a mess of their life turning to the Father than those of us who've kept it together. Why are you a Christian? Is it because of what the Father gives you? Or because of the Father himself? As a church, what does this parable say to us? How do we look at pagans? How do we look at unbelievers? Do we write them off? Stupid people. No. Like the third son, our older, perfect brother Jesus, we love them. We reach out to them like the Father looking and watching. We want them to come home, which is what North Coast Church is all about. You'll hear all about that next week as we launch our year.